الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praises due to Allah We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam As to what follows Surah Al-Baqarah verse 210 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور Can you read verse 210 in English please? Interpretation of the meaning
Do they then wait for anything other than that Allah should come to them and shadows of the clouds and the angels? Then the case will be already judged
جزاكم خير يقول الشيخ رحمه الله وهذا فيه من الوعيد الشديد والتهديد ما تنخلع له القلوب and this ayah contains such a strong severe warning and threat so much so that the hearts are about to rip out from one's body يقول تعالى هل ينتظرون الساعون في الفساد في الأرض المتبعون لخطوات الشيطان النابذون لأمر الله إلا يوم الجزاء بالأعمال Do these who are striving to spread mischief on earth those who are following the footsteps of the shaitan and those who are abandoning the command of Allah except the day of reckoning for their deeds الذي قد حشي من الأهوال والشدائد والفضاع ما يقلقل قلوب الظالمين The day which has been filled with fear and times of difficulties and horrible events so much so that the hearts of the wrongdoers tremble ويحق به الجزاء السيء على المفسدين and then the consequence of the evil will be established upon the corrupt and the evil doers it will become on that day what they have done they will definitely get what they deserve today people cause mischief people oppress others and they may get away with it you know you look at some of the presidents of some of the countries and they've killed millions and billions of people He's still living in his lavish house. He's got his car parked outside. Life is good. On that day, no more. Anyone who has some wrongdoings, then on that day it shall be dealt with. And it will become evident the consequences of their deeds. نعم. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَطْوِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And that is that on that day Allah shall fold the heavens and the earth. وَتَنْتَثِرُ الْكَوَاكِبِ And the planets will be dispersed. وَتُكَوَّرُ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ And the sun and the moon will be rolled up or curled up. وَتَنْزِلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْكِرَامُ فَتَحِيطُ بِالْخَلَائِقِ And the noble angels will descend and they will encompass or surround the creation. وَيَنْزِلُ الْبَارِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى And Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator, shall come down, shall descend. فِي ظُلَلٍ مِنَ الْغَمَامِ In shadows of clouds. لِيَفْصِلَ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْعَدْلِ بِالْقَضَاءِ الْعَدْلِ In order to judge between his servants with his ultimate justice. فَتُوضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ Then the scales shall be placed. وتنشر الدواوين and the deeds, the book of deeds will be presented وتبيض وجوه أهل السعادة and the people of goodness and people of happiness their faces shall illuminate وتسود وجوه أهل الشقاوة and the people of wretchedness and the people of wickedness then their faces will be darkened ويتميز أهل الخير من أهل الشر and the people of good will become distinct from the people of evil وَكُلٌّ يُجَازِي بِعَمَلِهِ And Allah will recompense each for his deeds. فَهُنَالِكَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ إِذَا عَلِمَ حَقِيقَةَ مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ On that day, the wrongdoer will bite on his hand when he knows the reality of what he had earned in his previous life, in this life of this world. Right? So this is the tafsir. Again, this is the tafsir of Shaykh Abd al-Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di. This is his interpretation of these ayat, giving us a journey into the meaning of the ayat and the relationship between them. Now here we are going to come to a very technical, crucial, sensitive, fundamental point in our belief system as Muslims. Not any Muslims, Muslims who adhere to the orthodox teachings of Islam. Muslims who did not go left or right, or did not introduce any philosophical ideologies into our understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah as that happened with many of the Muslims. During the earlier centuries, the 4th century, 5th century, when the Muslims started spreading into the various continents, and then many people who entered into Islam from religions that contained many anthropomorphic understandings of God, human qualities of God, or, you know, their gods were the God of good and God of evil and God of rain and God of, you know, heat, wa alaykum salam. And basically, many of them brought their philosophical understandings of God into Islam. And from there on, deviance occurred, where people started to interpret the Quran and the Sunnah according to foundations which were not laid down by the Quran and the Sunnah, but were laid down by Aristotle and Plato and the likes, believe it or not. So it was necessary that a group of the Muslims, as Allah promised that the religion shall be preserved, and Prophet ﷺ said they will remain a group of my ummah upon the truth, they will not be affected by those who oppose them or those who abandon them, and they will remain so until the day of judgment. So it is this group of individuals who kept Islam as it was, understood Islam in the same way it was explained and understood by the earlier generations, without any extremism in any way, shape or form, being on a middle course in all of our affairs. However, we don't entertain any nonsense, and we don't allow anyone to explain a verse in the Quran in a way other than the way intended by Allah Azza wa Jal, by twisting the meaning and saying it means something else, and the list goes on. So let's see what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe. Actually, let me examine you. The ayah says, just so you read it, illa an ya'tiyahumullah, except that Allah shall come. Question, ya Bustinera, does Allah come? Coming. Allah says on the day of judgment, Allah will come in shadows of clouds. That's what the ayah says in Arabic. Illa an ya'tiyahumullah fi dhulalin min al-ghamam. Do you believe that Allah will come as Allah said in the Quran?
On the day of judgment.
On the day of judgment. How?
As he said, with a cloud.
No, but how?
We don't know.
This is what you need to know. What we all need to know. We don't deny that Allah Azza wa Jal shall come. And woe to the one who does. Allah says in the Quran that Allah comes and you will find among the Muslims sick. You can't say that. It's Allah's might that will come. It's Allah's judgment that will come. They will interpret the ayah in a way which is not accommodated by the text, itself. The text does not entertain that. But they will do so. Because in their minds, the only meaning they know of coming is that associated with the creation. And they think that they're trying to free Allah from likening Him to His creation, so they deny it. We Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah say, no. The coming of the creation is unlike the coming of the Creator. There are two different comings. We come, animals come, the wind comes, the sun comes, whatever comes. And Allah Azza wa Jal comes, but don't put this with that. So we don't deny that Allah comes. However, we say there's nothing like Allah. And since there's nothing like Allah, everything that we know, our perception of coming, is not applicable to Allah because there's nothing like Allah. So we are in the safest, most sound grounds. We believe what Allah says in the Quran. And we believe that Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there's none co-equal to Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's none like unto Him. خَلَاص. So we accept, we believe. If somebody says how like me, you say, shh, be quiet. What do you mean how? How do you want me to explain to you how? It's impossible for you to understand how. Waalaikum salam. Because Allah did not tell us how. He did not tell us how, but He told us that He will come. But He told us that there's nothing like Him. So whatever you're imagining, delete it. You're wrong. However you try to imagine the clouds, or the manner in which Allah comes, you are wrong ultimately. Because there's nothing like Allah. You've never seen anything like that before. You see? Beautiful. Beautiful Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is our Aqeedat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we praise Allah Azza wa Jalla that He made us among them. Insha'Allah. Now listen what the Shaykh says. عفواً وهذه الآية وما أشبهها أو أشبهها دليل لمذهب أهل السنة والجماعة المثبتين للصفات الاختيارية كالاستواء والنزول والمجيء. This ayah and its likes are an evidence for the way of أهل السنة والجماعة, which affirm the qualities of Allah al-ikhtiyariya, the ones which Allah does by choice. It's His own choice. He chooses to do that. It's own will. Kal istiwa, such as Allah rising above His throne. Allah rising over the throne. How? Again, no anthropomorphic approach. Allahu a'lam. But Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa, the most merciful rose above the throne. Khalas. You believe it. Because Allah told you that in the Quran. And you don't question, and you don't inquire, how, what, why, none of your business. If Allah wanted you to know, that would have been revealed. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have explained to the Sahaba, hey, listen, pay attention. When Allah said this, He means that. He doesn't really mean this. He never did that. They accepted these ayat as were revealed. No discussions were made concerning them in the language of the Arabic language, which they understood very well. Khalas, case is closed. So we affirm, wa nuzul, Allah descending to the lowest heaven. Wal maji, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. Wa nahwi dhalika min as-sifat allati akhbara biha ta'ala an nafsi. And other attributes of this nature which Allah had explained and told us about in His book about Himself. أو أخبر بها عنه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, or His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about it. فيثبتونها على وجه يليق بجلال الله وعظمته. This is the important part. Then they affirm these qualities in a manner suiting, befitting Allah's majesty and His greatness. So we don't reduce them, right, to the human level. The coming and the descending and the rising are done on a human level, in a very basic human form. So when we affirm these to Allah, they are unlike our affirmation to the creation. They are particular to Allah, befitting Allah's majesty and Allah's greatness. Is that clear?
I have a little comparison. We know that Allah is coming down, especially in the middle of the night. Allah in the seventh heaven above His throne is coming down.
You don't have to do it.
In the lowest heaven.
Hey, but avoid.
We can compare that Allah in this ayah is something that is coming down. It's like He's coming from seventh heaven.
Yeah, but you know what? I know what you're saying, but you know what? The Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila, they don't believe in neither. You give them a hadith in Bukhari that Allah descends to the lowest heaven every last third of the night, they will not believe it. They will tell you it's Allah's mercy which descends, not Allah. Right? So the same way they deny this, they deny that. And they deny everything else which will be presented to them from the Quran and the Sunnah. They have the methodology of denying. Every time you give them something, they say, no. It doesn't mean this, it means that. Only from their mind, from their own mind. No, Allah doesn't want that. Allah means mercy. So He give me an evidence. The hadith says, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Our Lord, may He be blessed and exalted, descends. That's what the hadith says. They will say, Allah's mercy. So how did you get Allah's mercy? And according to you, Allah's mercy is deprived. The creation are deprived of Allah's mercy except the last third of the night. Because now you are associating with that. This is a reputation. Allah's mercy is coming down all the time. How are you going to make it particular to the last third? But brother, these people exist. They have websites. They're amongst us. they deny all of these names and attributes. They deny them because of the sickness in their minds, which is thinking of Allah as a human being. Because of that, they have a problem. How can this and how can that? We say, we don't have any how. We accept. We leave alone that other business to the day of judgment. You will see on the day of judgment. Today, mind your business. Believe in what Allah says in the Quran. Don't object to the revelation, and you will be guided by idhnillah. طيب فيثبت أيوة من غير تحريفكم سلام من غير تحريف عفوا من غير تشبيه ولا تحريف. We said من غير تشبيه. تشبيه is likening Allah to His creation, making resembling Allah to His creation, right? Comparing Allah to His creation in the sense. ولا تحريف. تحريف is what? Twisting the meaning, distorting the meaning. The ayah means this, and they will say something else. Whether it is done verbally in the recitation or it is done in the meaning, they do tahreef. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we don't. We affirm. We don't do tashbih. We don't do tahreef.
What is that word?
No, the first one is tashbih, which is likening Allah to His creation. And the second one, that was the first. The second one is tahreef. Tahreef, which is distorting the meaning or twisting the meaning. خلافاً للمعطلة على اختلاف أنواعهم. Unlike the معطلة, which are the deniers, those who deny Allah's attributes with their various kinds, because they have denominations amongst them as well. من الجهمية والمعتزلة والأشعرية, like the Jahmites and the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites and their likes. These are, you may say, what are these words? These are groups among the Muslims who deny the names and attributes of Allah, who believe in only 6 or 7 of them, like the Ash'arites. They only believe in 7 and they deny all the rest. They deny them. They say, no, we cannot say that Allah has a face. We cannot. Say, but Allah says in the Quran that He has a face. Said, no, you cannot say that Allah has a face. Why? Because when they hear the word face, what do they think of? Human being. So they have a problem. Say, oh no. Allah is not a human being. We know that Allah is not a human being. He's the creator. This is common sense. Thank you for informing us about something very basic. However, why do you insist on understanding Allah in the light of the human beings? And we gave many examples. Face. Now the ant has a face, and you have a face, and the elephant has a face, and the whale has a face, and the store has a face. And we can go on forever saying face, the moon has a face, the sun has a face. So what is the relation between these faces? What is the relation? The name only. The essence, nothing the same. The face of the store has nothing to do with the face of an ant, and the face of a whale has nothing to do with the face of an elephant. Although we call them faces, if you have such a variation, such a distinction among the creation, this is among the creation, then what is your problem with understanding a distinction of this nature between the creation and the creator? Subhanallah. It is evident. If you're able to see it in the creation, Allah has given you all these varieties of faces, so you will see this difference. Then what is the problem with you insisting on thinking of a human being when Allah has a face? Even though in the dunya, if you say a face, it could be anything. You see the point? So we don't have to deny. We believe in the meaning. It's dizzy now. We believe in the apparent meaning of the text. However, our understanding of that, when we speak of Allah's face, is that there's nothing like Allah. So I cannot categorize this face under any human characteristics which we know, human or creation characteristics. I cannot label it under anything. So then what do? I don't have any image. I have no idea what this face is like. But I don't deny it either. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord shall remain full of grace and bounty. Hey, I better believe it because it's in the Quran. Is that clear? Inshallah. Hey. مِمَّنْ يَنْفِي هَذِي الصِّفَاتِ. So the Jahmites, Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, they deny these attributes. ويتأول لأجلها الآيات بتأويلات ما أنزل بتأويلات ما أنزل الله عليها من سلطان. And so they deny the apparent meaning of the ayah. They try to interpret it or misinterpret it. Let me use that term, which is more befitting here, in a manner which Allah said no authority down concerning. Yani they try to twist the meaning with an explanation which they have no revelation to support. No revelation from Allah to support that you are allowed to explain this ayah in this fashion. Right? Because we believe that the Quran is a guidance or deviance?
Guidance.
ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى guidance لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. In this ayah, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ guidance. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Verily, this Quran guides to that which is more straight. If there's anything straight, then the Quran guides you to that which is more straight than that thing, the Quran. So after that, does someone come and say, Wallah, you know, this Quran is ambiguous. You know, what is intended by this is that. And we wind up saying that the Quran doesn't really teach you anything anymore. It confuses you. This is deviance. But that's what they're doing indirectly. By them interpreting these ayat in a way which they have no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, is in fact saying that this Quran is not clearly guiding you. It requires philosophy or philosophical teachings so we may understand the Quran and the Sunnah. This is crazy. But these people say that. طيب. بل حقيقتها القطع في بيان الله وبيان رسوله. But in fact what they're doing indirectly is that they are belittling and degrading Allah's revelation and the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَزَّعْمُوا بِأَنَّ كَلَامُهُمْ هُوَ الَّذِي تَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْهِدَايَةِ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. And they are claiming that it is their speech which will provide you with guidance. Their speech. No. What is intended by Allah coming? Allah's mercy coming. Learn from me. They're basically saying, ignore what Allah said. The Prophet ﷺ does not know any better. I will teach you. I will guide you in this field. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's what it is. You see how dangerous it is? So this is why you see the Muslims in the fashion they are in today. We are divided, we are separated, and we have all the, we are humiliated to some extent. Alhamdulillah, we have the honor of Islam. However, in terms of us being dominant in this on this earth because of the faith which we hold, we're not doing the greatest of jobs. Mainly because of these issues. Two Muslims cannot come together and agree about who Allah is or what they believe in about Allah. This is a calamity. The Sahaba didn't have these issues. They agreed about everything concerning Allah Azza wa Jal. They may have differed in interpreting a hadith in terms of fiqh, prayer times and things related to the jurisprudence. But in terms of aqeedah, faith, belief system, they were in harmony. This is something we lack today. We don't have. So we see this weakness. So when we unite as the Muslim Ummah, we must unite upon this truth. We must unite upon this truth. And Imam Malik rahimahullah said, nothing will rectify the latter or the later part of this Ummah except that which rectified the earlier part. We will not be rectified as the Sahaba were rectified unless we go back to their way of life, their understanding of the deen. They understood these ayat face value. They did not misinterpret them. They did not give another meaning other than the one that the verses suggested. And so we follow them, inshaAllah ta'ala, on their footsteps. نعم فهؤلاء ليس لهم دليل نقلي بل ولا دليل عقلي. So these people, the Jahmites, Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, have no textual evidence, nor do they have an intellectual evidence. I mean, textually, we refute them because we say there's nothing that supports your explanation. Intellectually, we can refute them, which I mentioned to you earlier, right? It's a strong argument. But listen, man, there's nothing like Allah. What's your problem? You know, what's your problem? طيب أما النقلي فقد اعترفوا أن النصوص الواردة في الكتاب والسنة ظاهرها بل صريحها دال على مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. Textually, he says, they admit, those other groups which don't believe what we believe, they admit that all the textual evidence is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, in their apparent meaning, support the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They support the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is what we are believing. Huh? إِلَّا أَيَّاتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ, except that Allah will come to them. We say, hey, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. So now, who's in agreement with the apparent meaning of the text? Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Ash'arites, Mu'tazilites, and the Jahmites, they acknowledge that. They know that we are in agreement with the apparent meaning of the text. They are the ones who are trying to go inside and you know, deduce some nonsense. This is not the case with us. وَأَنَّهَا تَحْتَاجُ لِدَلَالَتِهَا عَلَى مَذْهَبِهِمِ الْبَاطِلِ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ عَنْ ظَاهِرِهَا وَيُزَادُ فِيهَا وَيُنْقَصُ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ. And they admit as well that in order for these ayat to be evidences for their wicked or their deviant understanding, then they are obliged to misinterpret the ayah and go against the apparent meaning of the text. They are obliged to give you another deeper, if we may call it according to them, interpretation than what the apparent meaning of the text suggests. Along with adding or deleting in the process, they may have to add something or delete something. وَهَذَا كَمَا تَرَى لَا يَرْتَضِيهِ مَنْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. And that, as you can see, is something which is not pleasing to anyone who has a grain of a mustard of faith, right? Or not khardal, here dharra, an ant, or nowadays an atom, whatever. But it's not pleasing to you that someone will grab an ayah from the Quran and tell you, no, this is not what it means, this is what it means, or that is what it means, and there's nothing that supports this explanation, right? You don't like that. وَأَمَّا الْعَقْلِ فَلَيْسَ فِي الْعَقْلِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى نَفِي هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ. As for intellectually speaking, there's nothing in one's intellect which supports you denying these qualities. بل العقل دل على أن الفاعل أكمل من الذي لا يقدر على الفعل. Rather, our minds, our intellect teaches us that the one who's able to do things is more perfect than the one who's unable to do something, right? The one who's able to do something is better than the one who's incapable of doing something. وَأَنَّ فِعْلَهُ تَعَالَى الْمُتَعَلِّقْ بِنَفْسِهِ وَالْمُتَعَلِّقْ بِخَلْقِهِ هُوَ كَمَالٍ. And that the actions of Allah, which He does concerning Himself or concerning His creation, are part of His perfection, part of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنْ زَعَمُوا أَنَّ إِثْبَاتَهَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّشْبِيهِ بِخَلْقِهِ قِيلَ لَهُمُ الْكَلَامُ عَلَى الصِّفَاتِ يَتَّبِعُ الْكَلَامُ عَلَى الذَّاتِ. So if they claim that affirming these qualities necessitates likening Allah to His creation, it will be said to them that when you speak about the attributes, it is the same as speaking about the possessor of the attributes. Speaking about the attributes is in fact linked to speaking about the possessor of the attributes. So when you speak about the attributes of Allah, you're speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal. فَكَمَا أَنَّ لِاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. See, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they have big mukh, mashallah. فَكَمَا أَنَّ لِلَّهِ ذَاتًا لَا تُشْبِهُهَا الذَّوَاتِ. Huh? صِفَاتٌ فَلِلَّهِ صِفَاتٌ لَا تُشْبِهُهَا الصِّفَاتِ. Okay, look how you take them intellectually. Okay, there's a confiscation.
Yeah, I think so. What's that?
Someone's phone, but he's acting like he doesn't know what's going on. Okay. Malice. I'm just joking. No, I'm not that severe, man. Sometimes. So look at this rationale here. Look at this rationale. Look, this is beautiful. Okay. They're saying, he's telling them, when you're speaking about the attributes of Allah, you're in fact speaking about Allah, because these are the attributes of Allah. They acknowledge that. So now you say to them, the same way you approve that Allah has a being unlike the rest of the creation, right or wrong, no one will say no. You say, is Allah like the creation? They will say, no, right? Allah is unlike His creation. He's the creator. He says, so when you, then Allah has attributes which are unlike the attributes of the creation. You see, it's like the idea, if A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to D? A is equal to D? You were sleeping. If A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to
C.
Right or wrong? No? This was in physics or what? I think everybody must have learned this in school, man. Even in the Bagala you know this. If this is the 1 riyal, and this is 1 riyal, and this is 1 riyal, khalas, you buy it, any one of them for 1 riyal. Alaykum salam. So is that clear? When you're speaking about the attributes of Allah, you're speaking about Allah. When you approve and acknowledge with me that Allah has a being unlike the creation, then the attributes of Allah are to be understood in the same light. Then Allah has attributes unlike the attributes of the creation. So what is your problem? فَصِفَاتُهُ تَبَعٌ لِذَاتِهِ وَصِفَاتُ الْخَلْقِهِ تَبَعٌ لِذَوَاتِهِمْ Allah's attributes are in linked to Him Azza wa Jal, and the attributes of His creation are linked to themselves, the creation. فَلَيْسَ فِي إِذْبَاتِهَا مَا يَقْتَدِي التَّشْبِيهِ بِوَجِهِ So in affirming these qualities of Allah, there's nothing which suggests that we are likening Allah to His creation. وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا لِمَنْ أَثْبَتَ بَعْضِ الصِّفَاتِ وَنَفَى بَعْضًا Furthermore, we say to like the Ash'arites, those who affirm some qualities of Allah and deny others. أو أثبت الأسماء دون الصفات, or those who affirm the name and deny the attribute. إما أن تثبت الجميع كما أثبته الله لنفسه. We say to them, listen, either you approve and affirm all of the qualities of Allah as He approved to Himself, as He affirmed to Himself. أو أثبته رسوله or his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم affirmed to Allah. وإما أن تنفي الجميع or you deny all. You cannot play around. You accept some names and attributes and you deny some. Or you say, I believe in the names. You know, among the Muslims, people will say, Allah is Rahman, but I only believe in the name Rahman. The attribute of Rahman, mercy, I cannot affirm it to Allah. Because mercy is weakness. And Allah is not weak, no mercy. Yes? The Mu'tazilites. They love, they deny. Forgiveness, they deny. They believe in the names of Allah. Ghafoorun, Raheemun, Wadoodun, Majeedun. No problem. Because in the Quran, but the essence, the meaning, the attribute of the name, they deny. Because to them, these are some of them are weak characteristics, weak qualities, because they're thinking again in a human sense, and so they say we cannot affirm them to Allah, so they deny them. And these foolish people write books, and they give da'wah, and they strive for their madhab. Don't think that these are people who are silent selves. These are people who are active in calling to this junk, and they are very, actually, guess what? The majority of the Muslims are of that kind. And the minority are of this. The majority are not according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. By the fact, or due to the fact that the countries which they learned Islam in had adopted one of these madhahib and taught it in schools. So most of them, يعني, they really cannot be held accountable in the ultimate sense because they had no alternatives. However, this is the belief among the most.
So what is it for?
From every country in the world. The Ash'ari madhab is the famous in Pakistan, famous in India, famous in Lebanon, famous in Syria, famous in Palestine, famous in the Middle East in general, in most, predominantly most of the countries. Now within these countries there are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, alhamdulillah, always and forever, available here and there, who adhere to the true teachings. But if you want to talk about the general masses, the majority of the people, the vast majority do not agree with this. And they follow the Ash'arites without even them knowing. Without even them knowing, you know. And I remember when I first learned, when I didn't know anything, right? And I first started practicing Islam, just practicing Islam for the first time in my life, and I was given da'wah to a particular individual. I remember that when we came across something of this nature about Allah, and I said, this is only used to bring the meaning close to mind. It doesn't really mean that. And I didn't realize what I was saying until I learned the aqidah. I said, Subhanallah, I used to be an Ash'ari. Without knowing, because I was in the environment which I was born, this is what we were told. I mean, there's nothing specific, by the way. They don't like to talk about these things. It's not like they're giving classes, unless you're attending some institutes. But the general children, the masses, the regular society, they simply give you, you know, basic teachings. That, you know, we don't believe in that Allah has a face, Allah has hands, and khalas, that's it. Don't debate on this issue. Do not elaborate on this issue. So that remained in the mind, right, for some time, until we learned otherwise.
Yeah, how do you differentiate that? But we know, you're right, absolutely. We do meet people from different, back in India, Pakistan, or anywhere, they call Jama'at, okay? So how do you differentiate that? How do we know that the dawah coming from this gentleman? Because you see, it doesn't take long time to know that there are a lot of things that they are not really.
Right.
You have to be very careful
who you learn from. It depends. Usually. Tablighi Jama'at and their likes may come around the masjid. From what I've met from them, they, of course, they're Ash'arites, the vast majority of them, that is. And in their book, Fada'il A'mal and Fada'il Sadaqat, these teachings are embedded in there. This is something that you read at the end of the book, some of the crazy stories that they have of some youth who were out in the jungle, and that they basically the teaching that Allah is everywhere, right? Allah is everywhere and everything and so on and so forth. This is very popular among them. So this is why many of the ulama warn against tabligh jama'at. Yes, they give a lot of da'wah, may Allah reward them with goodness, and we wish goodness for our brothers. We don't want to make it a session of criticism. However, if I wanted to learn the deen, then I will not learn it from someone giving bayan after Salatul Asr, who himself has not been praying for 10 years, he was guided to pray 2 weeks ago, and now he's teaching me the deen. I don't learn from that individual. So we must learn from the reliable resources in this day and time, because there are so many availabilities of deviant sects and so on and so forth. I mean, they're very much popular. You have to be very careful, scrutinize, who are you learning from, right? But you know, the asal is that we assume good about the Muslim, and we don't assume that he is deviant unless it has been established. Otherwise, we treat him accordingly as a Muslim brother. But you know, you may find out in the nature of, you know, in the course of discussing things with them, mashallah, tabarakallah.
Distraction.
You must be joking, man. You may, you know, come across. Anyways, any further elaboration, we'll wait till the end of the session. Allah khaliq. Because I may lose the. La ba'as, habibi. Ahlan, 10 riyals. You give it to the da'wah center, inshallah. They give da'wah with it. Hasana. Where was I? Now, so either you approve all of them or you deny all of them. So either you approve everything, or if you don't approve everything, you must deny everything. If you deny everything, then you are in fact denying Allah, denying the Lord of the worlds. So you have one of two options. Either affirm everything, then you become Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Deny everything, because you cannot go 50-50. They all came from Allah, they all came from the Messenger. On what basis are you accepting some and rejecting some? If we had multiple sources for this knowledge, then you may accept a reliable source and deny a weak source. But when everything came from Allah and His Messenger, on what grounds are you accepting now some qualities and affirming them and denying others? You can't. So either you believe in everything or you deny everything. If you deny everything, then you in fact are denying Allah Azza wa Jal. Ouch. وَأَمَّا إِثْبَاتَكَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ وَنَفِّكَ لِبَعْضِ فَهَذَا تَنَاقُضٌ. As for you affirming some and denying some, this is contradiction. This is the contradiction. فَفَرِّقْ بَيْنَ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا نَفَيْتَهُ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ إِلَى الْفَرْقِ سَبِيلًا. Tell him, now you teach me. Make a distinction. On what basis do you affirm some and deny some? He will not be able to give you a formula. No formula. But logic? Your brain is unlike your friends. What do you is the criterion by which you make that distinction? According to another person who is more intellectual or less intellectual, it is not the same. So can we use the intellect as means of making this distinction? No. So, فَإِنْ قُلْتَ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ لَا يَقْتَدِي تَشْبِيهًا قَالَ لَكَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أُثْبِتُهُ إِلَّا التَّشْبِيهِ. So if you say that whatever I affirm does not necessitate likening Allah to His creation, أهل السنة والجماعة will say to you, وقال لك أهل السنة والجماعة والإثبات لما الذي أثبته إلا التشبيه. قال لك أهل السنة والجماعة والإثبات لما نفيته لا يقتضي تشبيها. أهل السنة والجماعة will tell you, and that which you denied also does not necessitate likening Allah to His creation. So they wanted to say, فإن قلت لا أعقل من الذي نفيته إلا التشبيه من الذي نفيته إلا التشبيه. If you say, if he says to you, I do not understand of that which you have negated except likening Allah to His creation. قال لك النفات ونحن لا نعقل من الذي أثبته إلا التشبيه. Those who deny will say to you, we understand nothing of that which you affirm except likening. فما أجبت به النفات أجابك به أهل السنة لما نفيته. Whatever you answer those who deny, أهل السنة والجماعة will answer you with the same answer. Because if he were to have a conversation with those who deny, he will use an argument against them to prove that he will affirm some qualities and deny some. So whatever he uses to argue with others concerning believing in some and rejecting some, we will use against them in the same way concerning what he denied. I hope you're not confused. It is a little confusing. But the idea is that you understand the general picture. That you leave this room with this classroom with understanding that Allah Azza wa Jal has names and attributes in the Quran and the Sunnah which we believe in according to the apparent meaning. We do not twist the meaning away, nor do we deny it or distort it. However, we firmly believe that there's nothing like Allah. And due to that, we do not have the need to deny anything, excuse me, or to misinterpret anything, because everything is clear to us. There's nothing like Allah, so whatever people assume is human characteristics is in fact not applicable to Allah, because He's the creator of human characteristics, and they cannot be one and the same, otherwise we no longer have a creator. So alhamdulillah, the argument of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is powerful. والحاصل أن من نفى شيئا وأثبت شيئا مما دل عليه مما دل الكتاب والسنة على إثباته فهو متناقض. The Sheikh says, in conclusion, the summary of all this is that whoever denies something and affirms something which has been indicated by the Quran and the Sunnah that it must be affirmed is in fact contradicting himself. He's contradicting himself. لا يثبت له دليل شرعي ولا عقلي. And he has nothing to support him, not an intellectual evidence or a textual evidence. بل قد خالف المعقول والمنقول. Nay, but he has opposed that which is rational and that which has been conveyed to us through textual evidences. So this is the argument of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. We have time to actually deal with the next ayah. Verse 211. سَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَمْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ بَيِّنَةٍ وَمَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. 211 أخي بارك الله فيك.
Ask the children of Israel, how many clear ayahs, proofs, evidence, verses, lessons, and signs in relation to the Sahih and the Sunnah have we have given, and however chase all of favor had come to him, in some to renounce the religion of our Islam, except for far his belief, then surely Allah is self-sufficient. That's it.
Barakallah fi. يقول تعالى سل بني إسرائيل كم آتيناهم من آية بينة. Ask the children of Israel how many clear signs, verses, proofs, evidences we brought to them. تدل على الحق وعلى صدق الرسل فتيقنوها, which indicate the truth and the truthfulness of the messengers, and they reached the point of certainty in that. وعرفوها, and they acknowledged it. فلم يقوموا بشكر هذه النعمة التي تقتضي القيام بها. But they did not establish gratefulness to Allah, which was due to that bounty bestowed upon them. بل كفروا بها. Nay, rather they disbelieved in it. And here kufr is being ungrateful. Ungrateful or ungratefulness. وبدلوا نعمة الله كفرا. And they substituted the bounty of Allah with ungratefulness. فلهذا استحقوا أن ينزل الله عليهم عقابا. So they became deserving that Allah shall send down upon them His punishment. ويحرمهم من ثواب, and He shall deny them of His reward of goodness. وسمى الله تعالى كفر النعمة تبديلا لها. لأن من أنعم الله عليه نعمة دينية أو دنيوية فلم يشكرها ولم يقم بواجبها أضمحلت عنه وذهبت وتبدلت بالكفر والمعاصي فصار الكفر بدل النعمة. Now the Sheikh said the reason why Allah called the idea of being ungrateful to the bounty of Allah as substituting it, تبديلا لها. Because whoever Allah has bestowed a favor upon, be it a worldly favor or a religious favor, and he does not show gratefulness thereof, وَلَمْ يَقُمْ بِوَاجِبِهَا, and he does not establish its right, what is associated with that ni'mah, اِضْمَحَلَّتْ عَنْهُ, it shall go away from him, it shall abandon him. وَذَهَبَتْ وَتَبَدَّلَتْ بِالْكُفْرِ الْمَعْصِي, and it will vanish and it will be replaced with disbelief and sins. فَصَارَ الْكُفْرُ بَدَلِ النِّعْمَةِ, so disbelief became a substitute for bounty. وَأَمَّا مَنْ شَكَرَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, as for he who shows gratefulness to Allah, who is thankful to Allah, وَقَامَ بِحَقِّهَا فَإِنَّهَا تَثْبُتْ, and he establishes its right, it remains firm. Huh? It remains firm. وَيَزِيدُهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا, and Allah will increase him. Now, before we conclude, this is very, very fundamental. And we are actually going through this every day. Every single day, this ayah is applicable to one of us. Where Allah bestows a particular favor upon one of us, and depending on how we react, it will either be kept firm and increased, or it will be replaced with disobedience. A good thing comes to us, we don't utilize it in a manner pleasing to Allah, it will go away. It will go away. This is the way of Allah, the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sunnah Allah. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will not find a change in the way of Allah. This is how He deals with His creation. He gives them. They show thankfulness. وَإِذْ أَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And your Lord has proclaimed, if you show thankfulness, I shall increase you. Promise from Allah. If you show thankfulness to anything Allah gives you, Allah will give you more. You don't, it will be denied. You will be denied of that very bounty which was once your own property, which once belonged to you, which was one of your characteristics. So we need to be very careful concerning these bounties we receive from Allah, that we strive to utilize them in a manner pleasing to Allah. Example, Allah gives you good health, good physical health. You're fine, you're sound, you don't have any illnesses, you don't have a problem walking, and you continue to be late to the salah with no valid reason. A day may come where you will be unable to do so. Physically, unable to do so. Now you have the physical ability, but you're busy. So you miss the takbirat al-ihram, you miss the jama'ah, you know, you're lagging off. Even if you want to say the first row, you're behind, you should be in the first row. I mean, you should be in the first row in every single salah. And you know, there's plenty of evidences for that, this is not the time to elaborate on it. However, the point being, if we don't do this, then maybe because we're not showing thankfulness to this, Allah gave you this health, not so you can play basketball with it. You may play basketball with it, but ultimately for what? So you may worship Allah. If you don't utilize your body for that, then you may get busy with something else. The same body which was a ni'mah, you will wind up using it to disobey Allah. So you will go out with women, and you will do some nonsensical things, and then consequently you have replaced Allah's bounty upon you, which was that physical being, this healthiness, with evil and disobedience and disbelief in the bounty of Allah. So inshallah, I hope we have the right understanding of that. And with this, we will conclude this particular dars. Inshallah ta'ala, if everyone remains alive and healthy, until next week, we'll be dealing with verse 212, which has to do with our relationship with the disbelievers, which is also very important. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.